Hey. Yeah, you. Hey. I'm talking to you. Don't tell anybody, but this is Billy West. For real, I'm really here. And, do I gotta prove it? All right. Hey, shut up and take my money. Shut up, you young idiot.
Shut up, both of you.
I don't care. Tell me to shut up. Tell me to talk. I'll talk.
Well, anyway, what these people are trying to say is, this is Project Nerd.
Well, folks, it's time to kick it old school. So you can feel cool. Give it to me, baby. Baby. Yeah.
Welcome to the Nerdcast, episode 140, with Adam, Tyler, and myself, Iggy. We have plenty to talk about this week. And when I say plenty, I mean plenty. So what's going on, guys?
When I say plenty, I mean that exact thing that I'm saying. Nothing else or nothing more, nothing less.
I don't know if anyone's ever told you not to use the word you're defining in the definition of the word.
I wasn't defining it. I was just saying, yeah, okay, I was defining it. But anyways, there's a lot. I know we've all had crazy weeks, fun, exciting times. A lot going on in the tech world, a lot going on in the movie world, starting with a jaw-dropping performance this weekend from It. Number two all-time opening weekend for a rated R movie, and what are we, already in top 50 already for total adjusted for rated R?
It's in the top, it is 50, I think, is what I saw. And that probably included yesterday and today's totals, which push it up over 130 million already. So, I mean, phenomenal numbers, and it's obviously the highest grossing or highest opening for a horror movie. I don't think anything else is anywhere close to that. I didn't pull those numbers up, but yeah, 125 to Deadpool's like 132, 123 to Deadpool's 132. So that's really, really not bad. It did open in an extra 500 theaters compared to Deadpool, though. So that's
interesting. Even so, that's huge. And we were just talking, I mean, the last 2 weeks we've talked about, what was that, Hitman's Bodyguard, like winning a weekend with like $10 million even. Was it somewhere around $10 million to win a weekend? And talking about how bad that was, it Labor Day weekend was the worst Labor Day weekend we'd seen since it was 2000. And
it made $8.7 million yesterday on a Monday.
So it was doing better than what most movies were doing the past two weekends.
Right. Here's the thing. So you can look at the overall gross for last weekend was $97 million for the weekend of September, or just the Friday, Saturday, Sunday last weekend was $77 million. The week before that was $69 million. The week before that was $96 million. I mean, you have to go all the way back to July 28th or 30th before the opening weekend beats just It from this past weekend. I mean, that's crazy.
So more fun news with that. For this year alone, only two movies this have had a better opening weekend, and that's Beauty and the Beast and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So this had a better opening weekend than, I mean, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, Pirates of the Caribbean, any of those you can think of. It's huge. And you guys, did both of you guys see it? I know you saw it, Adam.
Yeah, I saw it Friday night.
So what's the verdict? What do we think?
It's pretty good. I guess my only thing I would say is they very clearly, I mean, it's, for those of you who read the book, it's only half the book. It's the children's part of the book, so like the 1950s version part of the book. But the book's not split into half. It like alternates back and forth. They very clearly at the end make it clear that this was just part one. Like they're going to make it. They've already greenlit, obviously, the second part based on how much money this made immediately. I'm curious to see how well it carries over. Like, because you can't make the same kind of movie telling the second part of the story, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I enjoyed it. Like, it was surprisingly faithful to the book. There was a lot of changes, but none of them were like super big. And minus the one scene that everyone who's ever read It talks about immediately after having read it. And there's been any number of think pieces about it online, but I was impressed. I enjoyed it. It was fun. And I'm not usually a horror movie guy, but I thought it was pretty well made. There was some, There were some problems here and there with some pacing and plotting, but it was all the kid actors were like super solid, and I had a really good time watching. I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah, I think Tyler hit on the big thing. So Laura and I, my wife and I, immediately turned around and watched the 1990 miniseries. We're like, you know, I really want to see the juxtaposition between these two, because everybody's going to be talking about the differences between them, I'm sure, and the starkness of the quality of child acting is, I mean, it's night and day. I mean, you go back and there's some big names as the kid actors. You got Jonathan Brandis in there, who obviously went on to do more stuff. And I mean, Seth Green, and he's really the only one that I think would still be able to get a job. Just that means the actors, the kids, I think do a fantastic job. And it really is important that they do that, because they carry the crux and the emotional component to the story is all through them. So they did a great job. And then, I mean, I think Bill Skarsgård did a good job. I think he benefits pretty heavily from new technology. And if you hear or read what King said about the two movies, is that, you know, what I really would have liked to have seen would be Tim Curry with modern technology. Because I think he was probably a better clown, maybe the better clown. And then it's potentially arguable about the, you know, the evil enemy side of it. But I don't see any kid in the 80s going up to Bill Skarsgård and being like, oh yeah, it's just a clown. This, everything's going to be okay here. But Tim Curry as Pennywise, you'd be like, oh yeah, he's just a clown. This is totally a normal thing that can happen. But I think it was really good. Laura and I, we're going to go see it again. We've already talked about it. It's just a matter of finding some time.
And a good chunk of it is its fault, the movie and the book. But at like clowns, I think by virtue are menacing to a lot of people because of it and because of the original movie, because of the original book. But then there's been any number of other evil clowns. There was that really shitty low budget horror flick recently called Clown, but at no point does Pennywise in this one look like anything other than the personification of evil. Whereas Tim Curry's clown had points where it was like, oh no, like that could pass. I could walk through a crowd and no one would think anything different of it. Like Skarsgård's clown, Pennywise, is at all times looks like the most terrifying thing ever. So it's pretty creepy. I don't know if it's the makeup, there's a lot of things that go into it, but it's definitely scary. And yeah, the technology was big. So
now, Tyler, I have to ask. I'm looking at Fantasy Movie League, and you just didn't bank on it. You just didn't bank on it this week.
No, I didn't. It was record breaking. No horror movie or R-rated movie ever has made as much money as this movie made, and it was an R-rated horror movie that was split into 3 days. I think the safe bet was, I mean, like the historic bet was to not try to pick it, but I was wrong because it made more money than any R-rated horror movie has literally ever made at the box office.
So
if anything, you guys made the bad choices.
No, you're right. So it paid off. Adam wins week two of Fantasy Movie League with 118 million. I came in second with 112 million. Aaron also, he dropped a little, 102 million. And then, yeah, 61 million, Tyler. And
I 100%
tough hit.
I 100% banked on Home Again getting like the bonus, because I thought for what I was going to spend, I was going to get it. And let's be honest, it made pretty good money for how much I had to spend on it. I just don't think anyone expected it to make just $123 million. There are G-rated superhero movies that come out now that don't make that much money. There are Disney movies that come out right now that don't make that fucking money.
We were just saying that the darling of 2017, Wonder Woman, did not have an opening weekend like this. And it's crazy. And I think the difference there, Adam and I both took three screens with it. The difference is Adam took a Saturday with two Sundays, and I took a Friday with two Sundays. And the Saturday is actually what got the bonus because it was the best value and paid off. So Adam took that in, and man, dude. So for the season totals right now,
straight to the top, son. Straight to the top.
Yeah, but for the season totals, you're at 166 166,283,000. I'm at 166,205,000. So it is a close race there. And Aaron, he's at 162,000,000, so not too far behind. And Tyler can have some good weeks ahead and rebound.
Not I'll be that fine.
Crazy far behind, but
I'm fine.
But it was the way to go.
I get picking it, but like if I had it to do over again, I would not pick it to, you know, make more money than any R-rated horror movie has ever made before.
So 2 out of 2 on the recommendation from the Project Nerd team here. I think we had a few other Project Nerders see it. Patrick White, as well as he does his movie reviews, you can check out on his YouTube channel. So I'm pretty sure it's everybody involved with Project Nerd who has seen it is definitely recommending it. I'm still waiting on my movie pass card, which now takes 3 to 5 weeks because of how popular that is right now. So anytime movie pass, you want to send me that card so I start going to see movies. It's one of those things where it's like, I've got this card coming in the mail. Like, do I really want to go now or should I wait? And now it's kind of,
well, yeah, now the 10 bucks you would have spent to go see it, you've already spent that money. You're waiting for that card to come in. Like, my 10 bucks has already been spent already.
Right. So, anyways, I'll probably check it out at some point. Of course, I am typically, at least as of late, usually the last one to see the new movies of us three anyway. So no surprise here. No surprise here.
What do you mean as of late? You've always been the last one to see any movies of any of them.
I used to, when we used to all live around each other, we used to go see the movies. I used to see the big releases on opening weekend.
I don't know. You didn't see Scott Pilgrim vs. the World until it came out on DVD.
First of all, and I'm sure we've had this argument multiple times, there was a freaking tornado that came through. Was it the ice storm or tornado? Which one was it?
It was the ice storm.
I mean,
I went and saw it.
The power was out at my place. The power was out at our job. The power was out.
All the more reason why you should have gone to the movie theater.
I mean, you know where the power wasn't out? At the movie theater. I saw it
twice. I know. And Tyler, before the power went out, before the ice storm, we had discussed it. We had talked about going to see it. And you went to see it. I just handled some other priorities that weekend. And I regret it. I'm not saying I don't regret it. I'm just saying I have a valid excuse for missing it that weekend.
Eh, whatevs. My only problem with it is I was the only person of any of our friends who went and saw it in theaters and tried to tell everyone how awesome it was. And everyone was like, okay, whatever. And then it came out on Blu-ray and people started watching it. They're like, have you seen the Scott Pilgrim movie? It's really good. You motherfuckers, I swear to God. It's a really good movie if anyone hasn't seen it.
So Scott Pilgrim, always a high recommendation from us. But so for Fantasy Movie League, it is commanding a $799 million or $799, whatever, for a screen. So you put that in your screen, you've got 200 left to fit 7 more screens. So it was a gamble last week that did pay off, and now it's going to be a big question. It's going to be a gamble this week. Of course, we talked about it a little bit last week, the other releases this week, American Assassin and Mother, right?
So I will say that I've already set my board and I did not put it on it again. 2 weeks running. Let's see if it pays off. It's a bold move, Cotton. We'll see if it pays off.
It's a very bold move. What are you doing?
I don't know. I just don't see anything coming close to it again this weekend when I look at that. And next weekend, yes, but this weekend, no.
Right. Nothing else is going to make 70 million. So what are you putting in there that's going to get you over 70 million? I mean, I think that's really the number. 75 is what you got to beat. If somebody's putting it in their screens, you got to be able to beat 75 million with what you're pulling in. And I don't see another way to do it.
I don't know. I may adjust it as more predictions come out because I said it on Tuesdays, but usually like all the big industry predictions don't come out until like Wednesday or Thursday. So I may adjust it, but right now I don't have it on there. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to say I've set mine and it is on there. So I'm going for it. No big secrets there, but Fantasy Movie League is always talk about. It's looking like a good season. And of course it just destroying at the box office, probably going to get I really don't see it not winning again this weekend. So probably going to get 2 weekends in a row there, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, but sticking with movie news, there was more huge movie news. Another thing we talked about last week was episode 9 for Star Wars losing its director. What were they going to do? And it was funny because we talked a little bit about how we would bet that they're going to play it safe like they've been doing and possibly go with somebody familiar. And that's exactly what came out in the news this week on Tuesday. J.J. Abrams, who directed Episode 7, A New Hope, Volume 2, is going to direct, or write and direct, Episode 9. And they're delaying just a little bit, just pushing the release date back just a little bit. So J.J. Abrams, not that surprising, guys.
I'm not surprised that that's who Disney wanted and that's who Disney got. I am surprised that he took the gig. He made one. It did well. He made it sound like he was had no interest in doing another one. And I'm assuming, I mean, it's J.J. Abrams. He's not hurting, but it is Disney. So you could be the richest person in the world. Disney still has a dump truck full of money. That's more than what you have that they could back up to your house. So I'm assuming that was somewhat of something of what happened, but I don't know. I'm not surprised that Disney wanted him and got him. I'm a little bit surprised that he took the job, I guess. I don't know if there's a lot of upside for him as a filmmaker.
I don't think there probably is. I think it's nearly all downside, especially after Episode 7. And like we talked about a little bit last week, some of the backlash that it was A New Hope Volume 2. But, you know, I think it's potentially only downside for him, because if it's not perfect, it'll all be put at his feet. It is what it is. They are, you know, kind of like we've talked about, they're going the safe route, and it doesn't get much safer than that, because he wrote and did the other one, which made all of the money, essentially. And I mean, I saw it four times in the movie theaters, and I'll probably see 8 and 9 four times in the movie theater. So
if my movie pass card ever shows up, I'll see it that many times there. But
Disney's not going to let that fly. Don't worry. It'll work at your movie theater with the exception of Disney movies.
No, actually with MoviePass, you're only allowed to see the movie once with the card. So I'll have to pay to see it additional times. But yeah, I think just to kind of rehash what you guys are saying. I don't see the big reason why J.J. Abrams jumps on board with this other than another payday. Or maybe it is some redemption. Maybe, you know, you don't really need redemption for Episode 7, but there was all the chatter about how it was too much like A New Hope. And so maybe he's like, let's do Episode 9 and it's not going to be too much like Return of the Jedi. So I think definitely a safe bet. We talked about it last week. We knew it was going to go one direction or another that was familiarity for Disney. And I don't know. It doesn't, I think it'll be all right. It's definitely not like concerning news. That's for sure.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. In the end, there's probably no one who's, you know, thinking, I'm not going to see this because J.J. Abrams isn't at the head of it now. Whereas, you know, it's potential that's depending on who they put in charge, they might have lost some people's interest, but you're not losing anybody's interest with J.J. Abrams probably.
And remember, for Disney to bet on J.J. Abrams, Star Wars Episode 7 is one of, what, three movies to make $2 billion worldwide? Like, the third highest ever. So, outside of James Cameron, J.J. Abrams, I mean, is the only other person to do that. So, safe bet all the way around. Interesting to see what happens, what turns out there. A lot of talk about that Memorial Day time period is very important for that 2019 release, especially because Disney's got some big winter releases that year. So pushing it back to December, like the other Star Wars movies are doing, is worrisome for the Disney studio because they don't want to step on their own feet. So it'll be interesting to see what they do if this impacts the timeline. Because as much as it's like, oh, it's 2019, it's early 2019. So which they do need to get moving. They do need to get moving on it. That's for sure.
I thought, didn't they already announce that they are moving it back to December?
Oh, did they say December? Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. I think right after they announced he was getting the gig that they said it was going. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, because they were going to let him do some of the writing or rewriting or finalizing or what. I felt like they had already done some of the writing. So giving him that option lets him
Yes, the Star Wars official account tweeted that it's coming out now, December
20th, 2019. Okay, so it is moved. I know there was, I heard there was rumors, so it is confirmed. Thank you. But that'll be interesting. That's going to be, I know for a fact they got Frozen sometime around November, the Frozen sequel, which shouldn't impact Star Wars too much, but there was a lot of chatter when I was reading up on it early. That there was concern of pushing it back. So I don't know, 2019 is supposed to be a crowded year, but then again, every year right now, it's kind of a crowded year at the box office. So except for the weekend, right. It comes out.
Right. I was going to say, Disney's got no one to blame but themselves for that, because they're going to put out something probably ridiculous in the neighborhood of like 12 movies, 15 movies. And so yeah, they're just going to be stepping on their toes, because they're going to have all the Marvel movies coming out, Star Wars movies coming out, all their animated movies coming out. It's too much.
Yeah, it looks like as of right now, they've got, wow, they've got a lot of stuff on the slate for 2019. Toy Story 4 is slated for June of 2019. Frozen 2 is slated for November of 19. Now Star Wars is December. They're making Cruella, a Dalmatians adaptation. The Infinity War Part 2 is supposed to be in May. Dumbo is supposed to be 2019. Genies is supposed to be 2019. Mulan, Jungle Book 2. The Lion King.
This is just Disney, by the way, guys. Just Disney.
And then some other stuff that they haven't announced stuff. But, I mean, they've got a solid 10 or 15 movies slated for 2019. Right,
they're going to have a big movie every month. Yeah. Or they're going to have a couple each month over the summer. I mean, and yeah, as much as you say that, you know, oh, well, the Frozen crowd won't really take away from, you know, this won't take away from Frozen or whatever. Like, if they're close enough, sure they will. You know, I mean, Star Wars was a family affair for me and mine always. I mean, that's why I saw it 4 times. I saw it with my wife. I saw it with her family when we were down there for Christmas, and we went down to see my family for Christmas. We saw it again there, and we saw it when we came back. Like, it's going to be a family affair for this movie too, I'm sure.
So sticking with, I guess, some movie news here, we do, I think we pretty much all knew this was coming, and there had already been talks about it, but Monday, there's confirmation from Warner Brothers that Patty Jenkins will take on Wonder Woman 2. So she will stay in the director's seat, return for the sequel, which I think is great news. She did a fantastic job with the first movie, got a lot of praise for it, well-deserved praise. So keeping the team together, I think for such an inconsistent expanded movie universe right now is a crucial thing. It's a bigger deal than just saying, okay, we got a good director back for the sequel. I think it's a huge deal, because Wonder Woman is right now it's the shining star in a world of stink over there. And
well, and the last DC movie news that we have is that they're going to make an origin story that's not connected to any of the DCU movies.
Right. We're going to have a Joker movie. We're going to have a Joker movie not connected to the Joker that's already here. So Jared Leto will keep playing the Joker in the DC universe, but we're going to do a different Joker movie with a different actor. Yeah, there's a lot of questionable decisions happening at Warner Brothers. A lot of them. But Wonder Woman, not one of them.
Yeah, that's not one of them. And keeping Patty Jenkins, also not one of them. I think it's a great decision. And like you said, some consistency there is going to hopefully continue to do wonders with Wonder Woman.
Now, Wonder Woman finished $813 million worldwide. For a while, we were tracking what it had all passed. It had passed pretty much everything else in DC Universe. So, yeah, big sequel. I'm sure it'll be expected to be huge. I don't know. Is there any? There's no year or date connected to it yet, is there? It's just kind of out there that they're doing the sequel. At least not in the article I have pulled up. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Wonder Woman 2. A lot of questions too. What are we going to do now with their? Obviously, it's probably going to come after Justice League time or something like that. So we'll see what happens with this movie. It'll be a very different approach. So,
they probably don't have all the answers to those questions yet, Iggy.
Warner Brothers never has the answers. Right.
They'll change those answers four times before that movie actually comes out. It's taking place here. No, we're actually going to put it here. No, they got to wait and see how the Justice League movie does first.
So in 2003, a very infamous movie was released called The Room. And in 2017, The Disaster Artist with James Franco, Seth Rogen, and you got quite a few other actors in it as well, are really set to make fun of The Room and Tommy Wiseau, never really struck it big. So I'm sorry that I don't have his last name down, but trailer for it finally dropped this week. We got a teaser trailer a couple months back of a fun scene, but the trailer actually dropped it. And I'm going to be honest, it looks pretty fantastic. I don't know. You guys haven't checked it out yet?
It played before I went and saw it on Friday, and it was, it's definitely something. It's definitely something.
I mean, go ahead, Adam.
I was just going to say, I haven't seen it. So it wasn't before my movie for it.
Well, it's definitely, I definitely encourage you to check out the trailer, the movie probably too as well. I don't know if I could ever tell you to see The Room. I personally have not sat through that movie in its entirety myself, for the reasons that probably majority of the world hasn't. But this looks like it's going to be great. The right amount of humor, the right actors. It's, you know, when we say James Franco and Seth Rogen, so it's got all the normal people with it. Including, you know, like, I think Hannibal Buress is in it. You got Little Franco, you got Zac Efron, I believe. So a number of good people that are going to be in this, but, check out the trailer, check out that one. And the trailer for, it's called Downsize Me or Downsize It?
Downsizing.
There you go.
Yeah. That trailer looks interesting.
Well, it premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival and is getting some praise.
I mean, it's got a really good cast. So, I mean, I'm definitely intrigued by it. So we'll see. Because it's got Matt Damon, Christoph Waltz, Jason Sudeikis, Kristen Wiig. Like, it's got an interesting cast, and the premise is very interesting. So we'll see. I like Alexander Payne. Like, he's made, I don't know if he's ever, I'm trying to think. No, I don't think he's ever made a movie that I didn't like. I mean, he's only made 7 or 8, but they've all been fantastic. So I'm a fan of his work. His big one, I think, like, he had one in 90. I don't remember his first movie was called, but like, he hit the scene with Election. So if you've ever seen that one, the Matthew Broderick one, it's fantastic. He also did About Schmidt. He did Sideways, the Giamatti one, the wine movie. He did The Descendants, which was a fantastic movie, just amazing.
And yeah, I think The Descendants is my favorite of his so far.
And then he did that. It got a lot of buzz and a lot of people saw it, but he did the black and white movie, Nebraska, the one with Bruce Dern and Will Forte. That's really, really good.
All award contenders. So yeah, he's definitely a well-known director, but interesting, getting praise, looks fantastic too. So a couple new trailers this week to check out. I'm sure there was a lot more trailers that we didn't mention. If you did see more trailers, let us know, obviously, in the comments below. But heading away from movies for a little bit, let's talk a little bit about comic books.
There's one trailer that you didn't mention.
Let's do that first before we head into comics. Which trailer is that?
The Current War.
I have not seen that trailer.
You need to watch that one. It looks to be super interesting. So like, it's played off of some, a lot of things that are some pop culture-y things, but it's somewhat based on the real Current War, specifically the business dealings between Thomas Edison and George Westinghouse. Benedict Cumberbatch plays Thomas Edison. Michael Shannon plays George Westinghouse. During the advent of electricity and putting it into homes and like running AC and DC across the country. And then they kind of, they touch on it for just a minute. And then right at the tail end of the trailer, Nicholas Holt pops in as Nikola Tesla. So people will see it just for that. The internet loves Nikola Tesla. So
I will check out that trailer tonight. I will have to check it out. So many good trailers then. Like I said, there was more than I said there was more. So I was right on that part. But heading over to comics for a little bit, Len Wein, a co-creator of Wolverine, is probably what he's best known for. I know he did quite a bit with Swamp Thing as well. Passes away at the age of 69 this past weekend. So definitely sad news. But he was definitely known for working with the X-Men. He did some of the, I believe it was some of the newer Watchmen work. Swamp Thing. But yeah, Wolverine is probably one of the best known, most beloved X-Men characters there is. And he is partially responsible for bringing that character to the pages of Marvel. So sad to see another legend go. There's been a few this year in the comic book side of things. So definitely thoughts out to his family and everything like that. But if you have a chance to check out some of his stuff, he was definitely very, very good at what he did. Also wrote some animated stuff as well. I know Batman, Ben 10, things like that. So continuing comics, though, Rocky Mountain Con just a couple weeks away. So Project Nerd Publishing will be set up there. Of course, like I said, with all our Billy, Gunface, Escort, Bulletproof Kid, a lot of other fun stuff. So Gallo's really pushing me to, there's a anthology project coming up, and he's really pushing me to get into it. So we'll see if I get any writing done this month. I don't know. Find out. But you can always check out our stuff over there at pnpublishing.com. All right. So a little bit of tech before we get into, I know what you guys are eager to talk about. You guys are eager to talk about Destiny 2. We'll get to it. We'll spend some time there. But a little bit of tech. I'm really interested to see where this is going to go, because Tyler's in a very different world now than he used to be. So when we used to bring up the Apple announcements on the podcast, Tyler would spend a lot of time bashing those announcements.
Now, I never bashed any of them.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I have never had a problem with Apple's decisions to get late to the party when it comes to technology, and they're very good at refining things that have been out there for a long time. The one thing that it's always like I found infinitely entertaining and sometimes a little annoying is their ability to talk about technology that has been in phones for 4 or 5 years and act like it's the newest, greatest thing that no one's ever seen before. You're like, no, my phone I got like 4 years ago used to do that thing that you're talking about now.
They're doing it again. They're doing it again, because definitely with the wireless charging,
wireless charging's been around for a while. And and Samsung, you know, made a watch that had a cellular connection, you know, like 4 years ago, the S2. So
they announced the 8 and the 8 Plus, which are kind of your standard next steps in the iPhones. Some really awesome upgrades from the 7. They said, yeah, some technology obviously existing in other phones, but for those that are Apple fans, some really awesomeness. You do have, of course, the glass case now all the way around, bigger screens, facial recognition, which is, I'm interesting to see how that's going to play out. That's definitely something big. And then, of course, like I said, the standard size and the large size one. But along with those announcements, they announced the iPhone 10, or it's written iPhone X, but they were calling it the iPhone 10 as it's the 10th anniversary of the first iPhone release. And that phone, $1,000, yes, pretty expensive phone, but man, that phone looks pretty badass. It looks really interesting, has a lot going for it too. I'm not about to drop $1,000 on it, not even close, but it looks like a fun phone. Did you guys check out the announcements today?
Oh, was there a big announcement today? I don't know anything about that.
Obviously, we were talking about it. I'm just saying, what I'm trying to get you guys into the conversation here.
I mean, the 8 and the 8 Plus are fantastic. I mean, they're just, I mean, basically their annual tweaks to the phone before. They're basically the 7 and the 7 Plus with better processors, some new features, some new cool stuff. The X is a whole nother thing in its own. OLED display. It size-wise is somewhere between the 4.7 and the 5.8, but like has a, or 5.5 the two, like it's somewhere between the 8 and the 8 Plus size wise, but has a bigger screen than the Plus because of its edge bezel-less design. There was definitely some buzz online, people not happy with the little cutout at the top to facilitate the fact that it has all the cameras and sensors it needs.
Well, you need that stuff. I know.
You had to put the receiver somewhere. You had to put the camera somewhere. No home button. The home button is gone on this one. Everything is all gesture related and touch related. No more Touch ID, which I know a lot of people are very upset about, but the new face recognition software that seems super crazy cool using infrared camera and dot detection technology. So it uses like a 3D image of your face.
Yeah, so 3D image, because it's supposed to be able to recognize the difference between a photo of you and your actual face. So we'll see how that goes, because that's definitely some high-tech stuff right there. But yeah, interesting for sure. Along with the phones, of course, you have the Apple Watch Series 3, Apple TV 4K.
I'm super glad that that got announced, because one of the most annoying things about the Apple TV was how long it took them to release a 1080p model. Like, it was forever. And they were a little bit clicker on the draw here around with 4K, which is awesome. Because the new Apple TV, if you haven't used the new Apple TV with the App Store and the storage and stuff like that, and the Siri remote is fantastic. Like, the new Apple TV is really good. And now that you could get it in 4K, is probably one of the best streaming devices out there that's not built into a TV.
And bringing some budget gaming to it as well. So there was actually, yeah, some big announcements around the Apple TV. Sure.
There's a lot of gaming on it now. Like, you can buy Bluetooth remote controls for it and buy all sorts of App Store games on it and play it. It's pretty fun. I mean, it works really well as a budget, you know, gaming device. It's not a console, but it's like playing a game on your iPad, but on the big screen with a remote control.
So I think the big news about the keynote presentation for Apple today was there was no guest band. They always have a guest band every time they do one of these, and nobody showed up on stage to play music this time around. I don't know. Maybe they had to save some.
Did they have one last year? I don't remember one last year. Last year, the big thing was Miyamoto with Mario. That was the big one.
But a lot going on in those news. I've said a lot this podcast, by the way. But iPhone, I don't know. I'm interested to see it. I'll stick with my, I think I have the 7 Plus right now. I'll stick with that for a while. And be interesting to see what, when people get their hands on the iPhone 10, what it all is really capable of.
I'm going to get one of them. I just haven't decided which one yet, because I'm still using an iPhone 6. It's time to upgrade. I'm about three generations behind. So.
Right. I'm on the 2-year plan, and it's what I've done ever since I've got a cell phone. I don't get a new cell phone before 2 years. I've never done it. I'm not going to start now. So I didn't watch any of the update. I didn't read a single article about the new phones that are coming out, because it's technology that I'm not going to use.
Well, now you know about it. Cause we,
oh, did Tyler, you get a, Tyler did and you I get, shared. Did you get a phone last year?
Yeah. I have the 7 now, so okay. I don't need an 8. I'm not going to get a 10 just so I can have an anniversary edition of a phone that I never had to begin with. I didn't have an iPhone once, so it doesn't hold any, like, you know, neat place in my heart that I remember my first, you know, smartphone, and it was 10 years ago, and now I can get the anniversary edition. That's, yeah, nope, I don't have to worry about that. And so I'll wait till next year's keynote address, and then I'll come see Tyler and get a new phone.
So the United States Air Force, in partnership with SpaceX, which Elon Musk always has some interesting things up his sleeve, we'll put it that way. I mean, from tunneling underground to building actual Iron Man suits, all those ideas come across. When he has those ideas, he definitely verbalizes them, or at least communicates them via Twitter. So they did launch, I think it's launched a... What is, let me see here, the X-37B, mysterious space plane in the space. So if anybody's following SpaceX and knows a little bit about that, definitely let us know what's going on, or what your theories are of what's going on. I don't know, you guys have any theories on what this new spy plane is doing in outer space?
Well, if it's a spy plane, it's in outer space, I would guess it's spying on us from outer space.
Is it spying on us or North Korea or Russia?
It was a collective us, the human race us.
Okay, fair enough.
Because it's a private company. I mean, yeah, sure, they're working with the Air Force a little bit, so they could really do, you know, kind of whatever, I suppose. But, you know, I guess it's no different than who used to make the old space shuttle. I mean, it wasn't, you know, we've always worked with other companies to build things like that. You know, the Air Force doesn't actually make any of their own planes. Somebody else makes all of them and they buy them from them. So, you know, this to me doesn't seem to be any different than that kind of thing.
All right. So that's all I have for tech stuff. Very formal word there. So I want to hear about it, guys. Y'all been playing it. Everybody's been playing it. A lot of buzz. All over my Facebook feed, at least the end of last week. But Destiny 2, of course, the big news. So we recorded right before you were able to play it last week. And now we're recording after you've had pretty much a week of playtime. So what's the verdict, guys? What's going on with Destiny 2?
I mean, the verdict is really good. Really, really good. So far, you know, there's a lot of stuff that people don't have access to yet. We don't have the raid. We haven't gotten into the high-end PvP stuff, so no Trials of Osiris just yet. So got through the story. Much, much more story. Way more in-depth. The voice acting is fantastic. Nathan Fillion, Bill Nighy, everybody that does the voice acting, Nolan North as the, you know, the reimagined ghost. Just fantastic and really much more immersive story than what they did with Destiny 1. Much more accessible, at very least, than Destiny 1. So they got rid of some of the things that people disliked about the first game, which was a part of the story was told via Grimoire cards, is what they called them. And so you would do these things throughout the game and you'd be awarded a Grimoire card for it. And you had to go online to look at, see what those cards are. And they all had part of a story to them, but you would get them rewarded for any number of things. And so you might not get a cohesive story as you're playing through, but you had to go and then read these cards that supplemented the story that you were playing. So I thought it was really kind of an interesting way to do it. A lot of people didn't like it, so they ditched those. There's a lot more stuff for you to interact with in the world that will tell you things about what's going on. And just a lot more characters kind of talking while you're playing the story. So very, very cool. The gunplay, I think, is still fantastic. That's something that Destiny's been amazing at, and Bungie, you know, all the way since Halo 1 has really been phenomenal with his different feel with different guns, and they all feel really easy to use and pick up a controller and just knock stuff out. So fantastic there. Friday, I want to say it was, Saturday maybe, we got access to a bunch of the clan activities. So if you're part of a clan, you can do things that earn experience for your clan that gives everybody rewards. So that's very cool. My friends and I are all real excited about that and kind of what we can do and how quickly we can get those rewards so that you get bonuses for, you know, loot that drops depending on a different activity that you're doing. It's been really good. The game looks fantastic. I've talked to my friends that have their 4K TVs and they're really, really liking it with their PlayStation Pros. So I've got nothing but good things to say about it so far. It's possible that some of those turn south later this week after I get into the raid. I've got two characters already slogging their way up to max, now they call it power. So max power instead of light. So just kind of working on that. Tyler, where are you at so far?
I have only gotten to sit and play with it. I got the day off tomorrow, so I'm going to play a bunch. But I just finished the story last night and enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it a lot so far. I'm up to like 230, so not like crazy. I haven't done a lot of the activity. Haven't done a strike yet. Haven't done a lot of the extraneous stuff. But it's fun. Like, all the things I liked about Destiny 1 are still there and have been improved upon. And they avoided a lot of the pitfalls of Destiny 1. Specifically, like, it seems like one person or a group of people had a cohesive vision in mind and wrote a story that goes from point A to point B in a reasonable way. It got better as Destiny 1 went on, but like that that part of it. Like, I always expect Bungie to do a little bit better with something like that. And the story early on in Destiny 1 was a bit of a shit show, to say the least. I mean, there's a really interesting article on Kotaku about it from a couple years later about how it went wrong, but it was really cool. Like, and some of the cinematics and the story and the characters are fun. You get all your favorite characters are back. Something happens that makes the story like kind of cool. Like, there's some cool ways of like restarting the story, but still staying true to like all the stuff you did before. The little vignette that happens when you start the game up for the first time is someone who played it before. They go through and show these little title cards that show these images from all the big events from the first game. And they will, at the bottom in the corner, it shows the date you did it for the first time and the list of people who were on your fire team. So like when I started up the game for the first time, the last mission of the story of the original story in Destiny 1 was the Black Garden. And a little thing showed up and it showed Adam's name and my friend Daniel's name and my name all at the bottom in the corner because we did it all together for the first time. It was kind of cool. It's been fun. There's a couple things that are a little annoying, but they're all like cosmetic things. Like, I still am a little bit confused by the whole mod and shader system. It's a little out there, but I mean, I'm having a really good time. I've always enjoyed the game, the way that the guns feel, the way that the shooting and the movement feel. Hand cannons for life. That's really the only kind of weapon I use is a hand cannon constantly, 100% of the time. And it's glorious and feels so good. So,
man, you got to get on that Sturm then. You're going to love the Sturm.
I haven't gotten the Sturm yet, but I've got, what's the solar exotic hand cannon?
Oh, the Sunspot?
I got the Sunspot.
Or the Sunshot, whatever they call it.
Whatever that one is. The one that makes people blow up into
fire. Explode? Yeah, no, that's fantastic, yeah.
I have that gun so far. I've got 3 exotics so far. Not a ton of legendaries. But yeah, like I just said, I just started. I haven't done a strike or anything like that. But I have the day off tomorrow, so as soon as we get done here, I'm going to get on and play all night. So
hit your boy up tomorrow, bro.
All right. We'll get down.
So Destiny 2, let us know what you think in the comments, of course, over on our Podbean page, Facebook page, website, wherever you find the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. Of course, Adam and Tyler will do some more research tomorrow on this, so plenty of more research done before we record next time for these guys. And I think it's time for me to go pick it up. I just got to figure out if I'm doing a whole new PlayStation with it or if I'm just going to pick it up for the Xbox. I don't know. Got to figure that out. But
yeah, don't pick it up for the Xbox. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, I have an Xbox One.
What the hell?
For Halo, dude. I've had it for a while. I've had it since Halo came out.
For Halo. Oh, man. Yeah, so yeah. This is just like Halo, except it's better because it's actually by Bungie.
I know, and I had a PlayStation, but I don't have it anymore, and so I need to get a new one in the game, and that's what's holding me back. But I'll join you guys at some point. But for the rest of you that are listening that have already joined them, like I said, let us know what you think. So we're winding down on time, about 10 minutes shy of an hour here. So perfect time for us to head into our final thoughts of the week. And which one of you guys, anybody want to start? Throw out some final thoughts there. Adam's got his hand up. Let's go. Let's let Adam get us some words in.
Yeah. Pick me. My final thought is actually going to be, we touched on it just briefly in all of our movie talk, but I'm going to recommend everybody go see Mother this weekend. I have always really, really, really liked is such an interesting word for a Darren Aronofsky movie. I've always thought he makes unbelievably good movies. I'll put it that way. I have kind of a love-hate relationship with most of them, as they're just kind of hit you really hard, I think. Something about his aesthetic and what he does that is very, I think, visceral and real, but in the same time in this, like, surreal space. So if you watch, The Fountain, it's not a hardened documentary by any means, but my God, is it tear at your heartstrings like throughout the whole film. And you watch Requiem for a Dream, was my first Aronofsky movie that I saw, and you kind of sit through that, and at the end of it, and you're just like it's exhausting. It is a lot of work to watch one of his movies, but oh good God, are they so worth it. So this would be the first one I think that I see in the theater. I can't remember if I saw Black Swan in the theater or not. And so I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to it. And you got Javier Bardem and Jennifer Lawrence and Michelle Pfeiffer. I mean, the cast looks phenomenal. The score, I'm sure, is going to be fantastic, because that's another thing that he does, I think, unbelievably well, is tie music into his stories. So, yeah, my final thought is go see Mother. I don't take tissue. You're probably going to need it. I really don't know. He's going to make you cry, probably. So just be prepared for an emotional evening and enjoy. Enjoy is hard to say. Really immerse yourself into a great film.
I saw Black Swan in theaters, but I remember exactly where. I don't remember the exact date or anything, but I remember exactly where I was when I saw The Fountain and Requiem for a Dream, and even Pi for the first time. Pi probably the least of them, but I remember, yeah, those experiences were intense, and they were definitely intense. All right, Tyler, what you got for us?
I'm still working my way through the October Day series by Shannon Maguire. I'm enjoying it so far. It's been pretty solid. I've also been bothering a friend of mine. She just started reading, or not, I shouldn't say just started, but is just about done with the Codex Illyri series by Jim Butcher. So I've been talking about that again. It's super fun. And as much as I said, I had a hard time. I didn't do any fantasy leagues this year. I've been having a really hard time getting excited for NFL season this year. Like, the games just become hard to watch. The product on the field hasn't been great. I kept saying this all off season, and then my Chiefs went and laid a smackdown on the Patriots, and I am so pumped about NFL season this now. I don't know what happened. Something happened, but now I'm all in again. I knew this would happen, but I thought maybe this year would kind of just, whatever, but no. No, Thursday night ruined everything. Also, congratulations to them, because it's uncanny what they're doing, but I swear to God, if the Cleveland Indians win one more goddamn baseball game, if they're still on their winning streak when this put goes up and this airs live, I don't know. I can't even handle it. They just hit 20 tonight, which is tied for the record, and they showed no signs of stopping. I am getting some schadenfreude.
Well, they still have, what, two more games against the lowly Tigers right now? So
yes, and there is some schadenfreude on the other side, because the Dodgers are so bad all of a sudden, and so that's kind of cool.
It's crazy. We won't get too far into sports, but it is crazy that the Dodgers, two, 3 weeks ago, there was talks about when are they going to hit 100 wins, and are they going to tie the record for the most wins in a season? And what are we at? 16 out of 17 of their last games, losses. They are tied at zero as we record this on Tuesday night. So I don't know. We'll see if it'll go to 12 straight losses for them. But yes, 20 straight wins for the Indians. That's just impressive.
Cleveland was due for something decent to happen to them, I guess. I mean, it is Cleveland. I have a new employee who's from Cleveland, and I mean, he's a Browns fan too. So I guess I'll let him have this one.
Right, Browns fans are hoping for one win for every quarterback they've had since they had, like, one stick around for
season. I mean, I don't want to keep on the sports thing for too long, but the best NFL stat of the weekend was the fact that the stadium that the Browns play in now, First Energy Stadium, opened in 1999, and since it opened, as of last weekend, the most winningest starting quarterback in First Energy Stadium is Ben Roethlisberger for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's won more games as a starting quarterback in that stadium than any starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, you know, the team that plays half of their games there every season, as opposed to Ben Roethlisberger, who plays one game there a season. No, just one.
Oh, I guess, yeah, one home and home. Yeah,
home and away.
All right. So BoJack Horseman's back on Netflix, dropped last weekend. I'm about 9 episodes into season 4. It's good. It's not as good as the first 3 seasons. The first 3 seasons are up there. It was some of my favorite TV programming there is. I sing BoJack Horseman's praises all the time. Gut-wrenchingly depressing show at times, and absolutely hilarious show at other times. This season's been all right. It's been pretty good. There's definitely a good episode involving women and guns, with a very big social undertone to it. That is
definitely fun. But if you are a fan of BoJack Horseman, let us know what you're thinking about the new season. Check it out. Of course, I will finish it. I'll have it wrapped up by the time this airs. And then, obviously, like we said, Destiny 2 out there. Hopefully, I'll be joining the crew soon. Get on with you guys. And last but not least, one more. Yeah, like I said, brought it up a little bit earlier in the show. One more show for us, Rocky Mountain Con, coming up in Colorado. Just a couple weeks. So Project Nerd is signing out for episode 140 of the Nerdcast. We had plenty to talk about. I said we had plenty, and I meant we had plenty. No? All right.
Quit saying plenty and a lot.
So
knock it off.
It's the word of the day. Ah. So with that, we will end this episode. We will catch you again next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel. Bye.
Bye.